We are doing developing a consistent habit of reading your scripture. And that's super hard, right? Everybody struggles with that. So everything's building, if you've noticed. Sister Tanya started, she started giving us really good the importance of reading your God's word, the importance of it in our lives. And then we went over personal Bible study, how we can apply that to our lives from Brother Evans. I know a lot of it is going to sound kind of repetitive, but the whole purpose of the class is to truly realize the power of God's word in our lives. His word is living, and not only did it apply to previous generations, but it's still alive today and it applies just as much. So next week, for those who wanted the theological stuff, Brother Griever is supposed to be still preaching or teaching next week. He may be sitting. Just pray that he is released tomorrow and that that can all happen. But as of right now, Brother Griever will be teaching the theology stuff next week. So everything should line together. But I'm privileged with bringing you something that has been really hard for me in the past. It's been really hard for me in the past to fall in love with reading and God's word, but now I absolutely have to have it. I desire it. I want to wake up. I want to do it. So we've been equipped with how to read our Bible. We know the importance it has in our lives and why we need it, but finding the time or making the time to dedicate drawing closer to God is hard. I've been in several seasons of my life where it's been hard to find the time to sit down, truly dig into his word, and I feel like I couldn't dedicate that time to him. So how many have had the thought, I only have 10 minutes, it's not enough time to read his word, I'll do it later today, I'll add it on to tomorrow, that way I'll have more time tomorrow. How many of us actually do that? None. We never go back to it later. We just say we're going to. So, when was the last time that you heard God speaking to you through his word? It's another one, right? When was the last time that you read his word and you truly felt like God gave you something? Not through a sermon, not through a podcast, not through someone else, but only by opening his word and reading the scripture. There are times that we're going through something and we need God to give us an answer. A lot of times we'll think, God, send Brother Massey, send Brother Damesworth, send someone to give me direction or a word that I'm praying for. I've been praying, God, just send someone to tell me what I need to do. But he's already given it to you. He's already given you the word. So last couple weeks, I was going through some things and I was really struggling. And I was praying, God, have someone just give me something. That way I know that you hear me and I know what you're saying. And I had a friend come up to me and she said, Sarah, she didn't even know I was doing this. She said, Sarah, stop asking God to send you someone to give you a word and ask God to give you his word. Ask God to let you read his Bible and give you what you need him to say. Man's word is going to die, but his word is always going to live. His word is never changing. So how many times have we waited for someone to speak the word to us? How many times have we asked God to literally give it to us? So I'm not trying to convict you, but I'm stating that you need to seek his word. You need to give him the time of your day to speak to him. His word is living. It will not change. It will not alter based on the culture, based on the situation. His word is always going to stay consistent. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of spirit or of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, for the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, the word cuts and it's alive. The Bible isn't just another book. Scripture tells us in 4:12 that the word of God is alive and active. That means when we read it, God is actually working in our hearts. So, I'm going to give you a real-life example that just happened to me yesterday. A lot of you know that I've been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. That autoimmune disease, what it does is it swells the bone marrow and all the fluid between all of my joints throughout my entire body. It's terrible. But I have been praying. I have a doctor's appointment this week, and I've been praying, God, direct my doctor to know exactly the medication that I need to switch around to help get it under control, because it's not under control like it should be. And I would love to go into remission. So when I read that, I was reading through this and I read that last scripture that I just read to you. God told me, open it up in another version and read it again. And I didn't know why, but I had prayed this prayer earlier that morning. So this is what the new version is. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Immediately when I read that, I know to you all, it's going to sound like the same scripture. But to me, it was God saying, I know your thoughts. I know your desires. And I see your joints and I see the marrow. He knew exactly what I had prayed. And he used the word to put it in my spirit of, I know, I've got you, and I know. So his word is powerful. If you let him speak to you through it, what can you do? How can you set aside the time to spend with God in his word? How can we develop a consistent time dedicated to reading his word? We have to be intentional. Our God is an intentional God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Genesis 1, 1 and 27. So even his creation was intentional. Everything he did on the earth, the plants, the animals, he knitted everything together perfectly to survive and thrive. Isaiah 40, 26, lift up your eyes and look into the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth every one of them by name. He creates, he designs, he orchestrates, he declares all things with intentionality. If God is calling his children to be more like him, he's calling us to seek him and be intentional in our time with him. The definition of intentional, y'all, I like definitions, is done on purpose and deliberate. We have to read his word on purpose, becoming deliberate in setting time aside. So, how do we become intentional? So we have what we pretty much call two sets of kids. We have our big kids and we have our little kids. Our little kids go to bed a little bit early. Our big kids stay up, you know, 10:30 sometimes. But our little kids, they have school and our big kids are homeschooled. So my day is very, once it starts, it doesn't really stop. So I wake up the little ones at 6:30. Our house starts, Aaron gets up at 5:30. Our house starts moving early. So what I have to do is I have to wake up super early. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But if I don't do it, I don't read. So setting the time aside has to be intentional. So I wake up, my alarm clock is set for 4:30. Aaron knows this. Sometimes it might be 4:45, it might be 5. But if I don't get up at that point, I'm not going to get back to it. If I woke up 30 minutes later, if I woke up at 5:30, I'm not going to have time to read. So God intended for his word to be something that we visit all the time, not occasionally. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to doing everything written in it. If there are religions out there who can pray 5 times a day, why can we not pray and spend 10 minutes with God? If we looked honestly at our week, how much time do we spend on social media, TV, scrolling our phones, compared to looking in God's word? Another place that I've recently started setting aside extra time for me is I leave 10 minutes early to go to school line. I don't have to leave till 2:20, but I've been leaving at 2, so I can go sit in the school line. I can take my journal with me. I can open my phone, and I can read the Bible and journal. Even if it's 10 minutes, I'm dedicating that time out of my day to where nothing else is going on but me sitting in the car and praying and reading. So we have to evaluate the time that we have. Has God ever said to you, I have no time, I'm too busy today? No. He will honor your sacrifice. Sometimes it might be you have to go to bed earlier to wake up earlier the next morning. How can you find the intentional time? If you don't have kids, but you have a job, maybe you wake up a little bit earlier. You set aside time on your lunch break to get away from work tasks and spend time with him. Before you begin dinner, come home and spend time with God. Before you go to bed, make your quiet time a little bit sooner. Skip the TV show. Stop doom scrolling. We're all guilty. Do you look on Facebook and then 30 minutes later realize that you're still on Facebook? Me too. We all have a lot more time than what we realize, and we're not being intentional with it, of giving it to God. Another big one for me is space. Having a dedicated space has helped me. I have my main Bible study, my pens, my highlighters, everything I need in one space. I don't move it. Even when I clean the house, I pick things up, it stays in that same space. Everyone knows that the Bible is there and all my stuff is in the same space. If you come to my house, you'll see it. I have other reference Bibles across the room. They're easily accessible. In the morning, if I wake up, I will go somewhere, or my space is somewhere that no one can hear me. I am in the living room. Everyone else is upstairs asleep. I can set my phone beside me, turn on worship music, and I can dedicate that time right there. If you do that, that place and that time is going to become your prayer closet. You don't have to go to a prayer closet to have a prayer closet. So, the tools for me, my tools are coffee, a blanket, and my Bible. If I don't have those three things, I, for some reason, cannot get into the Word. So, I sit down on the daily spot. I don't think about anything else that I have to do that day. That time is dedicated only to God. Nothing else is going to happen. No one's going to wake up. If they do wake up, I'm so dedicated to this that it won't change. This is the way that God speaks to me. If I rush and I read through things, I'm not going to absorb it. So there are people who can read the bread Bibles, right? I am not that person. If you know what the bread Bible is, it's where you read so many chapters a day and you get through it in a year. If you can do that, I commend you on that. If I do that, my brain will not comprehend it, and I'm not going to get anything out of it. So, 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Taking his word and absorbing it is more than just reading four chapters a day. It may be you sitting there and you praying over that word and you saying, God, show me what I need to see. Show me what I need to read. And it may be four scriptures and that's it. And he will speak to you enough in that time that you're going to gain more than whether you rush through and you checked off that box that, oh, I read today. I'm going to meet my quota for the end of the year. So, what do I do on the days that I don't understand what I'm reading? Because it runs together. Who has read the Old Testament? The begats, the gots, the. All of it. What I have found for me that has really worked is I have the Bible app on my phone. You can get another Bible, and I do it this way too, but the Bible app on my phone. I will open the Bible app in, say, for Old Testament, the NIV version, and I'll have my study Bible, the KJV, on my lap. I will read one scripture from one scripture. And it's amazing how much God will show you in the difference. And you may have to look through different versions to find even something that's going to speak to you differently on it. But if you will take those two versions and read them together, you're going to get so much more. Especially even just reading an NIV version, read them both. And God's going to show you. If there's words you don't understand, another app that I have is the dictionary app. Open the dictionary app and type in that word that you don't understand. And that definition is going to open up something completely different for you as well. So, I'm talking about opening these apps, but what happens when we pick up our phone?
You stay there.
Notifications. You see text messages, you see Facebook messages, you see Facebook, you see everything like that. So, there is a way on your phone to set a time that you will not be able to get into it. Block it. Block it during that time. If you're, say, my time is 4:30 to 6 that I read and I pray, You can go onto your phone and you can block that time off. You can't access anything but that one folder that has your Bible apps in it, that has your notes in it, that has your dictionary in it. Utilize that. You have those tips right at your fingertips without having to sit at a table with a dictionary and three Bibles right here. Use your phone and utilize it, but don't get distracted by it. So all of it goes back to remembering that the most important part is making time to spend and dedicate with God. So Sister Tanya had a great idea a few weeks ago, and I hadn't even thought about this. If you wake up early, or I'm sorry, wake up late, everyone does it, right? She doesn't have time to read her Bible. So she has a Bible setting, what you said, right next to your door or close to your door, and she will look at it, grab a scripture, and she'll pray about that scripture the rest of the day. How easy is that? That's just one scripture, but you're going to ask God to speak to you through that. You can take a picture of it. You can pull it up on your phone, screenshot it. All you got to do is pull up your phone. There's verses of the day on your phone. If you don't have time to read a lot, screenshot that verse of the day. Don't go back into it because you're going to start going through things. Screenshot it and keep it and study on that all day long. Pray about it. Meditate on it. So maybe it's really small how you start. Maybe it's something just like that. You start on just one scripture. The thing is, you have to be consistent with it. You have to ask God to show me things. You have to ask God to bring it out to you. But you have to be consistent with having your Bible. You have to be consistent with having the app. You have to be consistent with making that time and dedicating that time to Him. Another thing, another story that got me, because I seen myself in this, is we are so much like Mary and Martha. Like, we hear the story all the time. You know, don't be like Mary and Martha, blah, blah, blah. So we have so much to do. I am a Martha. I have to do this. I have to do that. And sometimes it's just in my brain, you know, like I'm not physically actually doing it, but my brain is telling me you don't have time for that today. But what if we took all that time that we're anxious, all the time we're worried, we're upset like Martha was, and we actually do something and we sit at His feet? So Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season. We have to yield His fruit. That was, you need to know that scripture, Nick. It was Psalms 1:1-3. So what distractions keep you from reading your Bible consistently? I'm going to say Facebook. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's mine. Anybody else have any that gets you? Man, y'all are great. I wish I could have your minds then.
I'm just making the time.
Making the time. Yeah. Just doing that.
Good intentions a lot of times.
Yeah, and then you push it off, and you're like, I'll do it later. I'll add that 10 minutes tomorrow, and I'll get extra time tomorrow. We don't do it. So where in your day could you realistically add 10 minutes to open your Bible and maybe write something down or study or pray? Is it before you go back to work, between lunch break? Is it before you go to bed, instead of scrolling or reading another book, you could open your Bible?
So I've been doing before bed is I'm trying to do the Bible too. I try to do like studying sometimes throughout the day and try to, like, but I try to intentionally read the Bible at least once or twice a day. But I would like, I'm trying to get consistent with studying, and I'm not doing so good on that. I am consistent with reading, you know, like the two, like you said, but like you said, just really internalizing and studying,
right,
and meditating on it. I need to do better.
There's a difference in studying and reading, because reading is just going to get you, and I can't read. I am not a just reader. It doesn't work. My brain goes in too many directions. I read something and I find a word and I look up the definition of it, and then I go to the Bible and I look up the word in the Bible, and then I go through like four different more scriptures, and I started in the Old Testament and now I'm in the New Testament on a different story. And that's just the way my brain works. I cannot read the Bible can, like, straight through and get it. But everyone's brain is different. Everyone's different on that. So have you ever read a verse that was written exactly for you and in the situation? Does anyone have something that they would like to share on that?
I just want to share, I don't know if it's how, but Jesus is calling. It's a one from Walmart book, but it just seems like every day, just like church is here, when you come and the scripture's got a stamp of approval of God, I feel like that Jesus is calling is the Bible study that I do in the mornings is just always, it's like, what? It's supernatural. Mm-hmm. And at the church, like, this is a supernaturally inspired book from God, you know?
So, yeah. He's giving you a scripture to match your day and what you're going through.
It's, you know, got a little kind of story back and stuff, and it's like God speaking to you, but uses the scripture. And
right.
The scriptures, the Bible, and you go and read the scriptures, and it's daily. So Jesus is calling. I recommend that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've looked at that one before, and it has some good scriptures in it. So does anyone else have kind of like a story I told earlier? You know, it's nothing that's like insane, but it's just God saying, hey, I heard your prayer. Like, I mean, and you may not know it right off, Sister Tanya.
Yes, ma'am. I do have some of those stories. And it was some time back. I had mentioned to you all, I was working at a university, and I had taken a really big pay cut. And the boss that I had there had decided she was leaving the organization. She was going to go somewhere else. And she came to me and one of the associate directors and said, hey, I'm going to another organization. I'd like for both of you to come with me. We have a place for you. I'm going to set up my own team there. And so she tells me it'll be about a $10,000 pay increase. And so I'm thinking, Lord, this is just dropping right in my lap. She says, go fill out the application. And so I told her, I'll need to pray about it. So she came back to me, I think it was the next day, have you completed the application? I said, no, not yet. I need to pray about it. And she says, pray while you're filling out the application. They're wanting to get everything started. And so I was thinking, okay, Lord, this is all kind of moving really, really fast. And she says, answer the phone. The company's going to call you. They're going to talk to you a little bit about what you can expect and what your pay would be. Yada, yada. So they called $27,000, I believe was the amount, that they were going to increase my pay for a year. Forget the $10,000, $27,000, right? And so I am thinking, Lord, I need direction. I need you to show me what to do because I'm a single income in my household. I don't want to make a bad decision. And they were kind of moving things along, like we want to get everybody on board, we need everybody trained at the same time, and almost as if don't even plan on giving a full notice. We need you to jump over. And so I'm thinking, well, that's a bridge burned. Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. So I am asking the Lord under my breath, not saying it out loud, because I didn't want the devil to hear me. And I said, God, if it's not your will, I need to hear the word. Beware, and not just once. I want to hear it twice so that I know it's confirmed. It's you. Beware. Do not leave. Do not go to this organization. And so my boss, she's fixing to leave. We're all filling out the card and wishing her goodbyes. And I'm in my office, and I have the card, and I'm sitting there just thinking, you know, what are we going to do? She's really pushing me. Come on, come on, come on. I need you to tell me you're on board. And so I'm filling out the card for her. And I don't know if you all do this, but I had a scripture that came to mind. And I thought, when I fill out cards for people, I always like to put some type of a scripture in there, typically. And so I thought, oh, where is that verse found? So I go to my computer, and I'm typing in the words to the verse, and it tells me where the scripture is found. And so I use that, and I'm writing it in her card, wishing her farewell. And then I thought of another scripture. And so I went, and I Googled, you know, the words to that one, and it brought the chapter and the verses up. And I thought, no, I'm not going to use that one. And so I looked back down, I finished the card, and so when I finished and, you know, passed on, somebody else needs to do their part on the card, I'm praying, Lord, and I have tears well up in my eyes, I need direction. I've not heard from you yet. I've been to church. I've not heard the words beware. I'm thinking in my heart, I need you to show me what I need to do. Like, this is it. We're at the bottom line here, and they're wanting an answer. And so, yes, tears in my eyes, reaching to God, like, show me what to do. And when I look up at my computer screen, that last verse that I had typed in, it's so beautiful because I just needed strength in that moment. Like, what do I do, God? And when when I read the scripture that was right there in front of me on the computer screen, what did it say? Philippians 3, I believe it was, verse 2, and it says, beware of dogs. And I thought, there's a beware. And then the next word was, beware, again, of evil workers. And so I kind of look up at that point like, Lord, you've given me this answer, aren't you? And then I look back at the computer and it says, beware of the concision. And so I have three bewares. And so I thought, what on earth does concision mean? And so as I type it in part of that definition, it showed the shortness of time. And so I thought, Lord, this is your answer. I am not to move. I am to stay put. And so it's a beautiful thing. If we'll put the word of God in front of us, he gives us an answer. Mm-hmm. Every single time that we ask, when we need an answer, he'll provide it. If you're in the house of God listening and you've prayed, so many times that's happened. The word comes from the pulpit. Get yourself in a place where the word is, and you're going to get the answer you need. He does speak to us. Many times we say, God, I wish you'd come down and talk to me. He does. Mm-hmm. His word is right there. We'll open it up and put it in front of our eyeballs and let it enter our ears. His word is speaking to us at all times.
Right. And we need to read his word to let it be confirmed. And Brother Dainsworth says it all the time from the pulpit. Brother Dainsworth doesn't need to give us that word. Or whoever's in the pulpit doesn't need to give us that word. We need to be reading the word, and it's going to be confirmed. And that's going to be our confirmation that what we read and what we were directed in was from God. And again, with the words, you looked in the dictionary to see what that word meant. And it fit right in. Telling you, there's something with a dictionary, and I said that last week too. There's something about knowing the true meanings of a word, and I am not a person who is big on these fancy words and everything. I can't say half of them, but the definitions, God was intentional in the words that he used in the Bible. There's intentionality with everything that's in there, but we have to read it, and we have to seek him, and we have to pray over it, and it's making that time to do it. So, what do you think God could say to you this week if you opened your Bible and you spent time with him and you prayed about it and you asked him to tell you something? I would about guarantee it may not be the very first time you read your Bible, but during that week, he is going to give you a word in that Bible, and he's going to confirm it again, because he's not just going to give you a word and not confirm it. He's always going to confirm his word in some way or another. It may be that he speaks to me through songs. If you know me, I will send you a song. And I'm going to say, hey, like, he confirmed his word through the song to me. Or I will be reading my Bible, and it's insane because I have to listen to music. I have it really quiet beside me. And that word and that song is going to collide. And it's almost just a confirmation instantly on that. So, if you're seeking something and you're looking for something and you don't have direction and you don't know what to do, it's going to give you peace. It's going to give you direction. It's going to take away your anxiety. I have anxiety. You can ask Aaron. It's not great, but reading his word is going to help you, and it's going to give you the direction that you need, and then he's going to confirm that direction. So, that's all I've got. I'm so glad that you all came. And we're going to have a great service. We have a few minutes early, so if y'all want to stand here and talk, it is only 10:30. I finished early today. So you all can stand here in fellowship. You can go into the sanctuary. You can go in the foyer. But thank you guys for listening to me. I appreciate it.